My team, good morning. I think we're on. I think we're live. I thought there was another video coming there, but never mind. Welcome to another Wealth Coffee Chat Wednesday morning. Here to talk all things property management, team. I'm going to just allow a minute or so for a few others to join us here today. Hope you're well, wherever you're tuning in from. I'd love to say I'm tuning in from sunny Queensland today, but no, down in Melbourne this week. Spending a few days down with our team here, checking out some property, and weather certainly turned it on this morning for me, that's for sure. But team, today we're going to be talking about how to select a quality tenant. Forget that music to stop, team. Hopefully that's all right. You can hear me nice and clearly now. But here to talk about how to get a tenant, how to select a tenant in a rising market. So we're going to try and unpack that today. Obviously, you know, Property Management Wednesdays here on Wealth Coffee Chats. We've been chatting about, you know, what the rent's doing and whatnot, and how to maximize that. And if you haven't sort of seen me around the traps, my name's Cass, representing the property management team, and here to get stuck into it this morning. So I can see you there. Good morning, Luke. Hope you're well. And Kevin, all the way from Lakeland, Florida. There you go. Not sure what time it is over there, Kevin, but good on you for joining in. But team, this morning, how to select a tenant in a rising market. Thought I'd throw it out there to you guys and just see whether anyone here today has had a story or an experience recently in relation to potentially a bad tenancy. You know, what is a bad tenancy, right? Bad tenancy could look like, you know, rental arrears, damages, place not clean, all that sort of stuff that comes with this thing we call property investing when we don't get it right. So, team, if you've got a story, morning, James. Thanks for coming along. If you've got a story, team, chat, put it in the chat for me. Let me know what happened because a quick story from me a couple of years back. I got called into a client's property, suburb north of Brisbane. We jumped in there. We weren't managing the property at the time. And, you know, what we found was about, what turned out to be, $18,000 worth of rental arrears, damages, the cost it took to rectify the property and get it back to the standard to obviously go get the next tenant. And one of the main things that contributed to that $18,000 of loss of income, let's say, was there was a lack of application, tenant screening process and framework around it. I can certainly tell you, team, 13 years in this industry, the amount of times I've had tenants, whether it was my portfolio that I was looking after or teams, when tenants are vacating and we, for some reason, we don't always get a rental reference request from, you know, the new agents or wherever perhaps those tenants are moving to. And it's interesting, you know, we've got this significant asset, right, in our portfolio, right, the consolidation phase, the holding phase of your journey. And for some reason, property management teams, agents, even owners that self-manage are just not doing the due diligence before they put someone in their property, which is interesting. I wonder why. Not too sure. But what I'm here to share today over the next sort of 10, 15 minutes, team, is a bit of a framework for four pillars that we work on with the team to help you guys select a quality tenant. And in a rising market, we can be more inclined to just take the first application. You know, in this rising market, we've got, for the most part, of Australian investors right now, they'll put a property on the market, they're getting significant traffic through significant amount of applications, and you know, sometimes we don't want to lose those applications and we just go get the first one, right? We try and secure someone as quick as possible, and speed to market is important, right, team? Speed is important, but you know, it's kind of quality without quantity, right, sometimes. So team, no one's got a story for me in the chat. I haven't seen anything come through, team, but that's a good thing if you haven't had a bad tenancy. But certainly just tracking back to the one I mentioned, $18,000 worth of loss of income for this particular investor came back down to the tenant screening process. So, you know, I thought we could chat about that today. And so, team, if you've got an idea for me this morning on how we can screen new prospective tenants into the marketplace. Drop that into the chat for me. When an application comes through, team, what are we looking for? Let me know in the chat. What are we looking for? Good morning, Bunty. Good to see you again. And Alison's in the house. Good to see you, Alison. Hope you're well. You know, because I know one of the stories, if that pops up on your screen, there you go. Tell you what, if you don't have the if you don't have the right framework in place, team, around tenant screening, you could potentially be like this by one of these guys here, having a pet pig into your bathroom in your rental place. That's sounds like a story to share another day potentially, but took months, as they say, and lots of loss of revenue perhaps to get it fixed and re-rented. And that's the issue, team. We don't want to put ourselves in a situation to create more stress, to take up more of our time and ultimately, you know, loss of revenue. So, team, four pillars to put yourself in the best position possible to select a great tenant in a rising market when you've got a lot of people. As we said, it's a competitive market out there. Number one, rental references, right? Like I said before, for whatever reason, team, sometimes this doesn't happen. Our vacating tenants are not getting checked. Now, what is a rental reference? Why is it important? It's critical for a few reasons, right? Obviously, number one, the obvious one is we want to see their level of consistency around rental payments, because that's super important, obviously, for our revenue as investors. We want to check out the history, right? How long have they been there? We want to check out what were they cooperative throughout the time that they were there? What were they like? What's their attitude like? You know, how did they maintain the property, right? Was it clean and tidy, or was it, you know, cluttered and dysfunctional right in there? We want to know these things. Now, obviously, we're not there to judge people on how clean the place is necessarily, like whether they make their bed or not, but you kind of get the idea. The rental reference is super important. If the application has rented somewhere else, team, certainly hold off on approving that application until that is sorted. If your agent is unable to execute that, then you're probably with the wrong team, right? That's probably the red flag. Number two, pillar two, team, employment references, employment status, proof of income, right? You might get applicants who are business owners, which is totally fine. But we want to gain some information in relation to that income, right? We want to feel safe as investors to know that the people that are renting our homes and looking after our homes for us can obviously show proof of income, again, to keep you safe and make you wealthy, right? And so one of the things in the employment status is there. Now, obviously, a bit of an asterisk on there. We spoke about a bit of the stage two reforms in Queensland. It's obviously effective in Victoria at the moment, where, you know, as agents, we can only request certain information and certain documentation from the applicant. Okay, so yeah, we do need to be aware of that. However, obviously, we can have really good conversations with our prospective tenant to understand their position. Okay, now why do I say that? Well, look, if there's no proof of income, right, it's pretty obvious that you're going to have a rental arrears issue. Alison says, mine party a little too hard, but they pay well, four tradies in their house. Yeah, and that's, we've got to weigh that up sometimes, right? Things do happen, right? We hold property for 10, 15 plus years. Things do go wrong, right? Things do go wrong, as Alison's experienced. But I guess they're giving her the revenue. So hopefully, Alison, they're paying above market value for you. that might offset it for you. But team, we need to understand, you know, we had a 30% income to rent ratio rule of thumb, right? So if someone was earning $100,000 for easy math, $30,000 towards rent per year would be considered safe, would be considered acceptable. You know, what does that look like now in 2024 when we've had significant rises in cost of living, rents, everything else, team? Because we're certainly fighting for a piece of the pie, right? Rent is just one piece of the pie when it comes to where our disposable income, discretionary income goes, right? We've got medical things we've got to pay for. We might have kids. You might be sending them to school. We've got to eat, obviously. There's recreation. There's a lifestyle out there, right? So the paying rent is one part of the thing. And if there's too much pressure in on that particular household income, then ultimately it becomes the landlord's landlord's challenge, right? And that's the thing. So, you know, like I say, we used to work off this 30% income to rent ratio rule. What does that look like now? We're certainly seeing that increase. And so we've got to be quite aware of where people sit, regardless of whether they are employed or if they're running a business, right? We want to make sure of that. We want to make sure and have forward think, guys, in 12 months' time, is this tenant that I approved today, do they have capacity to absorb a 5, 10% plus rental increase, right? If the answer is no, then maybe the likelihood of them vacating in 12 months' time is higher, right? So again, I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but essentially we've got to be aware, right? Because we've been talking about reletting costs in that space. Obviously, employment, you know, like certainly get applicants all the time, job changing every 3 to 6 months, and there may be some reasons to that. But obviously, again, from a stability point, about keeping you safe, it's just making sure your agents are having the conversation with you guys. You know, team number three, number four is quite interesting because usually number one and two is what property managers will do, and they'll kind of stop it there and they'll say, hello, Mr. Owner, here's John and Mary, what would you like to do? And then you sort of, you know, you get the recommendation either way, right, on what you want to do moving forward. Number three and number four is super critical as well. Pillar three is terms and conditions. If your property is vacant today, would you rather, you know, accept someone moving in within the week, or should we wait 4 weeks for them to come in, right? Now, you could accept, obviously, the person moving in 4 weeks' time, but again, loss of revenue for the next 4 weeks is real, right? It's real for your back pocket. So again, just really understanding the terms and conditions of the applicant, because I can tell you, it's even when people the applications, they are in a rush. It is a stressful situation. They are looking for multiple property, and on a Saturday, you can imagine, in this market anyway, and you can understand that they are just trying to get that application in as quick as possible. So we want to vet that application to make sure that the tenant also knows what they're submitting. So obviously looking at, you know, the rental price, right? Are they offering you market rent? Are they trying to negotiate something, right? So what does that look like? And then, you know, short leases, long leases, you know, there's been some conversation at the moment about should I take a 6-month lease. Now, you know, basically every state, territory in the country only allows you to do a rental increase every 12 months. In some cases, you know, must be 12 months from the last rental increase. WA said about 2 or 3 weeks ago at mentoring, for those that were there, you know, the only state that are doing every 6 months. I just read an article 2 days ago, they're moving, right? They're going to align with everyone else and move to the 12-month annual increase. So is there benefit now to the shorter term lease? Maybe not, right? So we need to think of these things and how our revenue is affected by that. So terms and conditions, you know, how we negotiate that, pulling that deal together, super critical. Don't just accept what's on the paper. And number four, team, something I like to just call, like, how suitable is this tenant, right? Suitability. When we talk about that component, like, what does that actually mean? How suitable is this tenant for my property today in today's market? And are they suitable moving forward? And I talk to a lot of clients in this space around this stages of life. To give you an example, you have a two-bedroom apartment in a city. You might be renting that to a professional couple, let's say. Now, that professional couple might be 25 to 35. At some stage, you know, we see a lot of the time, not everyone, but a lot of the time, those couples will look to upgrade into townhouses, into homes. They might have a kid along the way. They might want to get a pet, so they want a bit of a yard for the dog to run around in. So stages of life is something for us to be aware of, so we can forward think, you know, what's the likelihood that this tenant would leave, right, and vacate in 12 months' time. Because what we know, team, is the longer your tenant stays in the property, the less wear and tear there is on a property, right, the less cost there is to you, right? It's just about obviously keeping you safe and making you wealthy in that space. You know, if you've got a family home, 4-bedroom, out in the suburbs of wherever your properties are, you know, we know the demographic of tenant is going to be a family, right? Mom, dad, 1, 2 kids, pet dog running around the back, right? These sorts of things, you know, are we going to attract 4 students renting into that place? Now, for Alison's point before, you know, she's got 4 tradies in their house. Now, I don't know where that property is, Alison, so forgive me, but, you know, that might be a place where there's a lot more tradespeople in that space. So it's a good point to make, because we just want to understand, and the point is understanding the demographic of the tenant profile in your marketplace, right? It's super important, so we can understand what is right what is not so right, and again, protecting yourself in the best possible way, team. So four pillars today. Rental references, please check it with your property management team. We don't want to see any applications coming through the door without that. Alison says, Warner. Yeah, cool. Awesome, Alison. Good work. And so, yeah, pillar number one, rental references. Team, get it checked. If it's not checked, move on to the next one, right? Number two, employment status. Might be business owners, right? Checking income, things like that, revenue. Super, super critical, team. What I say to clients is, if you showed me that tenant, you showed me that application, I'll show you a future. That's kind of how it works, team. In this space, you show me the application, level of that application, the quality of that application, and I'll show you a future over the next 12, 18 months. Too many times we've seen people skip that and put themselves in unfortunate situations. Right, number three, terms and conditions. Check what that means to you in terms of that lease. And of course, how suitable is this tenant now? And is this my tenant of tomorrow? So team, I'm running out of time. Hopefully that has helped give you some framework. It's just something I've seen, in the marketplace a little bit at the moment in this rising market. It is competitive. We all understand that. So team, what I thought, for Property Management Wednesdays, if you've been listening in, you're liking what you're hearing, if you've got any topics, questions, things you guys would like to understand or unpack through this thing called property management, my email address is coming across the bottom of your screen, and please drop me an email, let me know what you'd like to learn about, what you'd like to understand from a property management's perspective. I'd totally love to grab some topics and some ideas off you guys and come to you on a property management property management Wednesdays and have a chat. A couple of things in the chat. Char says, can I ask an agent for a copy of the application? Oh, look, there's some privacy things around that, Char. So we can work around that, but there's certainly some privacy laws and things like that we need to just be aware of in that space. But certainly, to answer the question, I suppose, is to obviously give you some frame. The property management team certainly should be giving you some framework, in some structure in relation to what's actually on the application. So they should be able to transfer that information straight to you and give you a very, very clear understanding of what that is. And if they can't, perhaps red flag, right, in that team. So, yeah, Alison says you need a coffee. That's the rules. That's it, team. Alison's right. Grab a coffee. Thanks for jumping on a Wednesday, team. Like I said, anyone want to know anything more, please drop me an email. Let me know some topics, team, and we'll come back next Wednesday and do it all again. That's it for now, team. Jason is back tomorrow for Thursday morning Wealth Coffee Chats. Look forward to jumping on. See you all then, team. Have a nice day.